This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, April 21st, the I Actually Have a Favorite Kid edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who's 5, and we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
My name is Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9, and we live in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast. I live in Detroit with my family. My daughter Noah is 4, and my son Ami is 1.
Today on the show, if there's one universal rule of parenting, it's that you can't love one kid more, or at least can't admit it. Well, we have an interesting letter from a mom who just realized she likes one kid over the other. She's worried that this will continue, and she's wondering what she should do. Then on Slate Plus, picky eaters. We're going to give ourselves a few moments to vent and then talk about what strategies have worked to make mealtime less of a battle. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
What are your favorite, like, Trojan horse meals? Like, the meals that are healthy, but, like, they don't know that they're healthy because they're so delicious? I mean, Naima's just eating straight up kale.
Yeah, like the fact that she eats greens is wild to me because I didn't like greens until I was an adult.
If you want a weekly bonus segment from us and your other Slate favorites, consider signing up for Slate Plus. Not only will you get more content, but you'll never be bothered by a pesky ad, and you'll get unlimited access to the Slate website. To sign up now, go to slate.com/momanddadplus. Again, that's slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive into our triumphs and fails of the week.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, Care and Feeding listeners, it's me, Lucy Lopez. What do ASMR, AI chatbots, and diet culture all have in common? They are all topics explored on Embodied, the Ambi Award-winning weekly podcast from WUNC, North Carolina Public Radio. Each week, acclaimed reporter Anita Rao holds up her journalistic lens to all kinds of things that are sometimes hard to talk about, like sex, health, and relationships. Embodied dives into what some consider taboo to answer important questions about our bodies and our society. Nothing's off limits. Hear from expert guests, including doctors, historians, and psychologists, as they break down everything from the dynamics of egg donation, how couples combat mental health struggles like schizophrenia and OCD, and the profits and pitfalls of the self-care industry. If you need a place to start, I highly recommend checking out the recent episode where Anita interviewed two couples who continued to choose each other after one partner came out as trans. So go ahead, follow Embodied and get new episodes every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're new to our show, welcome. Whether you're a parent, educator, or just interested in this wild journey, we're so glad to have you. Here on Mom and Dad Are Fighting, we share our parenting triumphs and fails, offer some advice, and share recommendations of things we love. We're here twice a week on Monday and Thursday. So subscribe to never miss an episode.
We're back and moving on to some parenting stories. Jamila, what's going on in your world?
I am happy to report that we made it to Chicago for spring break. Yay! This was our first trip back since the beginning of the pandemic. So I hadn't seen most of my family and friends in over 2 years. It was really nice. You know, it was an emotional trip. It's a triumph that we made it. I was sick and did not think that, like, the night before I was literally feeling awful and just like, I don't know if I can sit through a 4-hour plane ride and maybe the this is a bad idea. And, you know, I pulled it together and we went and we had a really nice time and we saw, you know, some of my friends and some of my friends' kids and my parents and my sister and brother-in-law, my nephew. And it was amazing. The fail, I think, that I'm claiming is that I'm at a point in my life where I kind of resent how far away I live from most of my loved ones. You know, I left Chicago as soon as I graduated high school and never looked back. And, you know, I keep moving further and further away. And now I'm really far. And it, you know, it was a great trip, but it was an emotional trip. Like, it was definitely hard for me to say goodbye and just like deal with the fact that I'm not usually able to, you know, see people in the way that I was able to see them during the trip. But, you know, nevertheless, it was a great time.
Do you have a hard time feeling like playing through your mind what it would be like if you were still there? I have that when I go to Atlanta. I think a lot about like, what would my life be like if I were here? Like, I would do these things with my family and friends all the time. Like, I get into that spiral.
Yeah. Like, I can envision a social life to some extent, you know, and like how I would interact with my family. But professionally, I just don't really know, you know, what I would be doing. I mean, I could see that I could sort of see myself going back and becoming a school teacher. If I went back sooner, I'd probably be teaching at my elementary school or something like that. I don't know that I would be very happy with that.
No, it's like I find it so gratifying to be back, but I definitely relate with your like, it's like heartbreaking because you've moved away, but you also understand why you've moved away and you, but it's like hard when you're there because you're so much a part of that world while you're there.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you can go back soon. Well, Zach, what is up with you this week?
We have been celebrating Pesach, the Jewish holiday Passover, and it has been big time family time where I'm recording right now from my brother-in-law's childhood bedroom. That Larry Bird poster is not mine. I'm not responsible for it. And so this is really the converse situation of what you were just describing, Jamila, in that we do live close to a lot of family and we're often talking about like, yeah, like it's amazing to be surrounded by family, but like we should head for greener pastures. So there's always, you know, like Elizabeth and I were talking about last week, there's always regret,
yeah,
you know, and there's always the grass is always greener situation. But the thing that I was going to talk about was just this brief moment. We were over at my sister's house. My cousins from Texas were in town. Other cousins from Chicago were in town. And I grew up doing these Passover Seders where oftentimes there would be like the kids table and the adults table. And like, this was the first time that my kids were old enough to be at the kids table. Even though like, I feel like I'm like 12, like I should be at the kids table, right? It's like, nope, you are a grown person, buddy. And so my kids were like doing their own thing at the kids table. And I'm over here with the adult. It was a very surreal moment. And then after dinner, my son Ami, who's, you know, he's 18 months, so he actually sat with me during dinner, but Noah, my older kid, was at the kids' table. After dinner, Ami, who's very clingy to both Shira and I thought that he would just stay with us, but all the other kids, the older kids, went down into my sister's basement, and Shira, my wife, took him down, and I thought, like, inevitably she'd come back up with him, like, a minute later, because he wouldn't let her leave her. But my cousin's kid, my first cousin once removed, she was able to get Ami to stay with her. And like, he stayed down in the basement for like an hour without us. So all the adults were upstairs talking, all the kids, including my 18-month-old, my big boy, was able to like stay downstairs with his cousin. Aww. It was like, you know, this thing that I think we probably experience a lot where it's like, oh, this is so nice just to talk with the adults and have the kids not mess with us. But then, like, of course, my next thought is like, oh, he doesn't want to be with me anymore. He's just happy to be with his cousin. So it was bittersweet, but I was so proud of him. And again, just this surreal thing of I'm at the adult table now and my kids are at the kids table. And I just can't get over that. But it was really great to be with family.
How did Noah do with the three questions?
Oh, thank you. Four questions.
Oh, gosh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. She did so great. She sang them kind of, Shira sang them with her. But she did really, really well.
That's amazing.
It was really fun.
And how long are you there?
My wife's siblings are still in town. We've just been camped out at her parents' house. So we'll probably stay here for another day or two and then go back to Detroit.
Nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Well, while both of you are spending time with your families, my triumph is that I'm taking some time for myself, despite like all of the obstacles that are basically Teddy. I got my hair cut on Friday, which okay. I haven't done because of, like, I got it cut once or twice during the pandemic, but then, like, we moved and finding a new person and then COVID and then children. And for me, I have very long, very thick hair. This is, like, not a short go in for an hour. This is, like, the bulk of my afternoon. Like, I go in at 1 and I'm not done till 5 or so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I get color put in and it's...
Wow.
To me, I'm changing really
all day.
It's an all day thing.
Wow.
So it's like a big commitment. Like, I have to make sure, like, can someone like really watch the kids or can Jeff take a half day? You know, like those kind of things. So I did that. I joined a gym mainly because they have a pool and we can take the kids swimming. And as it gets warmer, we'll be able to take them after. And I'm feeling better, hopefully, about COVID numbers and how they're handling things. So we're able to do that. And I went to a yoga class with a mom friend this morning. Turns out a bunch of my friends belong to this gym. And that was today, Tuesday. We record on Tuesdays. That's the day everybody is in school. And I tend to use those days for like errands and stuff. And I just like Jeff is so much better about using time for himself so that when he comes back, he's like recharged. Like he will add a run in after drop off or go like to the gym at work before he comes home, just like squeezing an extra 30 minutes so that when he comes home. And I'm terrible at that. So I did that. And Jeff and I had a date night where we like went to Denver and we left all of the kids with my friend Michaela, because although we have a babysitter who watches the kids sometimes, like locally, the last time we left Teddy, he was a complete nightmare for her. Like the kind where your babysitter who never calls you calls and is like, he's just like throwing a fit. I don't know what to do. I ended up calling a neighbor mom to come over and like help get Teddy kind of under control, because this teenager is not going to like bear hug my kid and just put him in. So Michaela was like, let me watch the kids, because I had thought about just canceling. It was a violin concert in this Air and Space Museum in Denver. It was lovely. I've been looking forward to it for a long time with Jeff. And she came over. Teddy was a complete nightmare. My friend
not
call me. And when I came home, she was just like, it was fine. I took care of it. And you know what? I just accepted it. I didn't feel bad about it. I gave her a bottle of wine.
Nice.
I was like, oh my gosh,
great.
You a girl's nut. But I really have not had any like guilt about it, because I was just like, this is something
good
that Michaela was happy to do for me. I would happily do this for her anytime. And I got what I needed and it was great. And of course, we're working on Teddy being less. He just gets like angry when he gets overwhelmed, and he likes me to do the bedtime routine. And if it's not me, he's, you know, upset. And that's something we have to work on. But I felt like the next day I was able to just be like, hey, you had a rough night. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I absorb it so much that then I'm like frustrated with him the next morning, even though like he's, you know, I was like, how did things go with Michaela? He's like, great. We played. I went to sleep. It was like, yeah. He also ran around the house for like a half hour outside. He like went out the back door in his pajamas and was running around, tried to play basketball with the like 18-year-old neighbors at the basketball court behind their house. I mean, it was crazy, but we did it. I had a nice night.
Good for
you.
I do
not feel bad about it.
Good for you.
Good.
Michaela's amazing. I feel, you know.
Yeah, shout out to Michaela. This is what real friends
yes.
do.
Yeah.
That's a real friend.
Yep. It's
and
a
that's
real
so
friend.
Important. To not take that guilt on is such a big move.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, because you don't need to.
Yes, I don't need to. That's the thing. Like just realizing she does not care. It was like something when I got home, we just were able to laugh about.
Absolutely.
Well, with that off my chest, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we will get into today's listener question. All right. Should we hear our listener question? It's being read, as always, by the fabulous Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, I have 2 kids, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. They have completely opposite personalities. The older has been much needier, taking a lot more of my time and energy with demands for attention, help, etc. The younger is a much chiller baby, happy to sit back on the sidelines and observe the household goings-on. On paper, it would make sense that my easy baby would outshine my more difficult and demanding child. But in practicality, the older one is clearly my favorite, despite the tantrums and the neediness. Maybe it's because I have less time for the one-year-old than I did for my first at this age, or maybe it's because she demands less from me so I don't have to spend as much time attending to her. Or maybe it has a little to do with the circumstances of her birth, CBAC. Or maybe it's because she burns so much goodwill by being a truly terrible night sleeper. But I just don't really like my one-year-old very much. At first, I thought that it would change as she got older and I got to know her personally more. But it hasn't, and I'm afraid these feelings are calcifying. If anything, I like her less now than I did 6 months ago. I'm warm and affectionate with her. I don't think she notices yet, but I don't want this to be an issue going forward. I'm full of guilt and completely heartsick over this. I want to change this as soon as possible. I'm looking for concrete, practical tasks I can do actively to try to like my one-year-old more. Advice, please. Signed, I don't want to have a favorite.
This is a heavy question, and I gotta say, I don't want to have a favorite. The fact that you are acknowledging it is huge. This is like one of those things that we could keep to ourselves, and I think it could calcify even more. So the fact that you're putting it out there is very important. And also, I don't know if you know this, but there was a study that said around 70% of moms surveyed named a child to whom they felt closest, and only 15% of children thought their mothers were equally close to all children. Mm-hmm. So like, you're not a freak. And in fact, this is the norm, which is very interesting.
I also was looking to see if there were any studies on this and found one that found that 74% of mothers and 70% of fathers exhibited preferential treatment towards one child over the other. And that was just in them observing behaviors of parents. Like, they went into homes, observed behaviors, and noticed this. So I agree. Like, the data is in. This is normal.
Yeah. And so the one practical thing that I would convey here is, because it seems like you have this kind of routine of spending more time with the three-year-old because they demand it, and that's just going to perpetuate itself. And I think the really important thing is that you need to spend a lot of quality time, if possible, with your one-year-old also, even though they're less demanding, like one-on-one time with both of them, ideally, you know, an equal amount, but like good quality time with both of them is very important, I think.
You know, I wonder if there's a postpartum thing happening just because, you know, you have a one-year-old. And I don't know if your baby's, you know, one is in 15 months or one is in just turned one, but you didn't give birth that long ago. And you're having some challenges bonding with your baby, you know. It might be worth talking to someone. And this is always my advice for anyone who listens to, or especially who reads Care and Feeding. I send everyone to therapy. But, you know, I think that this would be a good thing for you to talk to a professional about, because there are, you know, even though it is completely normal and most parents do it, there are still feelings of guilt, you know, that you're managing about the way that you're kind of naturally inclined toward one of your children as opposed to the other. And, you know, what you're feeling about this matters. Also, it may help you to figure out just what those barriers are for you in terms of bonding with this child. And it could be, you know, as simple as you said, this baby is less needy. You know, your time is otherwise occupied with the older sibling, and so you just don't have that bond yet. But I think that I would consider talking to somebody to try to see if there's something that you haven't been able to tap into that could be standing in between you and bonding with your child. And the only other thing I would add to that is just to be really intentional, you know, about having quality time with your baby. You know, be intentional about having one-on-one time with this baby. Like, you have to figure out some time for the two of you to bond in which you're not going to be interrupted by your other child. Even if you'd rather be interrupted by your other child, you have to commit to creating space for the two of you all to get closer.
I completely agree with the postpartum as well. Just even some of the language in the letter, mm-hmm. I think speaks to this feeling of like, I feel like I'm resenting this child. I feel like those are often markers of postpartum depression, which you should not feel guilty about, but you should use as a avenue to say like, okay, I need to go talk to someone. And there are people out there that specialize in this as well. I really like Jamila's advice about spending some one-on-one time with each child. And I would suggest, since your one-year-old is so easy, try to do something that you really enjoy doing with them. So like, if you love to go on walks, strap that kid into a stroller and take him mm-hmm. on a walk. Like, try to make that time you spend with your one-year-old something that you really love doing, that you're capable of doing with them, even if it's like needs to be short. Even if it needs to be like an outing or just like taking them with you when you run this errand that you like to do, because they're easy and you can do that. And trying to a little bit like fake it till you make it sometimes does yep. work in parenting. I think it's really normal. Like, I have three kids, and at any given time, one of them is my favorite, based on like the day. It could be based on like just how things are going. And there are ones that are go through more challenging phases that make it more difficult. And I just try to make sure that even when I'm in that phase, that the rules are like equal, not in the sense that like you can't have them all be the same, but that like I'm not being harder on this child, and just really keeping that in check. I think talking to your friends and your partner about that are important so that they can help you as well. I also think it sounds like you may need to spend time away from both kids and just get some time to yourself as well, if you can manage that, because especially with those little ones, they're really demanding on your physicalness, whereas a three-year-old, even if they need more from you, it's like they need so much less of your like body, like physically being on your body, being held, being picked up, and that can be really draining. So I think if you can find a way to like get space from everyone, but also spend some one-on-one time and do some really fun things that you like with your one-year-old, you know, your three-year-old may have an opinion about what they want to do. Your one-year-old probably doesn't. As with many of these, it's like it's your own guilt that's hurting you and causing so much of this. And I think the only way to deal with a lot of that is going to be therapy, or just like having a space in which you can talk about this openly without feeling the guilt about it. And I mean, mom friends or a partner are yep. a great person for that. Like someone who's not going to be at all judgmental and just let you say like, this kid is driving me nuts and here is why. And just like venting out all those reasons, because sometimes holding it in makes it feel worse as opposed to being able to just say like, this kid, you know, like I can't take them pulling on me. Like we're up all night. Like just being able to list all that can be a release as well.
And like anything you can do to just not make it clear to your kids that you have the favorite, like vent all you want, but kind of back to the fake until you make it thing, just don't make it evident at all, which can be challenging because, you know, you at this moment, remember, parenting is all just a bunch of moments that pass quickly. Like it's not going to always be like this. But at this moment, yeah, you favor one kid, but your younger kid just can't know that.
The good news is at one, they don't know much of anything. It's
true.
Like mostly meeting
That's
needs.
True. That's true.
And if you don't meet them all, if you meet them all with a fake smile, they're unlikely to know that smile is fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to have a favorite. We hope this helped. Everyone else, if you have a question for us, email us at momanddad@slate.com. And that's it for our show. We'll be back in your feeds bright and early on Monday with an interview and some recommendations. Please subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. It helps us grow this wonderful parenting community. If you'd like more community, be sure to join us on the Slate Parenting Facebook group. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Jasmine Ellis. For Zach Rosen and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.